तवकथामृतं ताप्तजीवनं कविविरीडितं कल्मषापहं श्रवणमंगलं श्रीमदाततं भुवि गृह्णन्ति ये भुरिदा जनाः. द नेक्टर ऑफ द वर्ड्स इज द लाइफ फॉर दोज हु आर स्कॉर्ज्ड बाय द वर्ल्ड. द वर्ड्स व्हिच हैव बीन अटर्ड बाय द नोर्स ऑफ ट्रुथ व्हिच वाइप आउट सिंस द वेरी हियरिंग ऑफ व्हिच इज बेनिफिशियल व्हिच आर ब्यूटिफुल pleasing to the ears, pleasing to the hearts, which are inexhaustible. Those who recount them on the earth are the givers of plenty. Talks with Swami Vivekananda. Page 13. Place on the way from Calcutta to Kashipur and in the garden house, in the garden of late Gopal Lal Sheel, year 1897. Today Swamiji was taking rest at noon in the house of Sri Yudh Girish Chandra Ghosh, the famous actor and dramatist of Bengal and the foremost devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. The disciple reaching there saluted him and found that Swamiji was just ready to go to the garden house of Gopal Lal Sheel. A carriage was waiting outside. He said to the disciple, "Well, come with me." The disciple agreeing, Swamiji got up with him into the carriage and just started. When he drove up the Chitpur road, on seeing the Ganges, Swamiji broke forth in a chant self-involved. Ganga taranga ramaniya jata kalapa. It is Vyasa's hymn to Vishwanath, meaning whose matted locks look charming with the waves of the Ganges playing among them. The disciple listened in silent wonder to that wave of music, when after a short while, seeing a railway engine going toward the Chitpur hydraulic bridge, Swamiji said to the disciple, "Look how it goes majestically like a lion." The disciple replied, "But that is inert matter. Behind it there is the intelligence of man working, and hence it moves. In moving, thus, what credit is there for it?" "Well, say then, what is the sign of consciousness?" Disciple, "Why, sir, that indeed is conscious which acts through intelligence." Anyhow, let me first make some comments before I go further. Early part of 1897, Swamiji just returned from the West. February. And our monastery in Alam Bazar, a very small building, few people can be accommodated. Swamiji went to India with some of his Western disciples, Mr. and Mrs. Xavier, Mrs. Henrietta Muller, Miss Henrietta Muller, Goodwin, J.J. Goodwin, Swamiji's stenographer, many Western disciples are with him. So for them, they rented the villa, big garden house, Gopal Lal Sheel's, which is in Kashipur. So Swamiji sometimes staying in the monastery, sometimes staying in this house, just to give company to his Western disciples. And sometimes he was invited in Calcutta devotees. Girish Chandra Ghosh gave him lunch. So after lunch he was resting, and there the disciple went and met Swamiji. And after lunch he wanted to go back to that garden house. You see, Swamiji is a poet by nature. He saw it was the Ganges flowing by. Seeing the Ganges, he remembered the matted hair of Shiva. According to Hindu mythology, Vishnu Padodbhava Ganga. Ganga is the water washed from the feet of Vishnu, very pure. It happened, there was a king named Dilip. He has 60,000 children. They are burned by the curse of the rishis. And it was said that if you can bring Ganges from the heaven, then they will be, if that water touches these ashes, then they will be all liberated. So Bhogirath practiced severe austerities, and Vishnu was very pleased and said, Lord, will you release the Ganges? Well, I can release it, but who can withhold that stream, that power of the Ganges? The whole earth will fall apart. You ask Shiva whether he can absorb this flow of the Ganges from the heaven to the earth. So Bhagirath went to Shiva. Shiva says, all right, I shall do that. So Vishnu released the Ganges, and it was locked in the matted hair of Shiva. I think several thousand years, Ganges could not find the way out from the matted hair. So again he prayed to Vishnu, to Shiva. Shiva said, all right, I shall release the Ganges. So Ganges was released and it flowed from the Himalayas, 1600 miles, to Ganga Sagar, Bihar, Bengal. This is a mythological story. So we know the Ganges is in the matted hair. That is a vivid description of the hymn composed by Vyasa about Lord Shiva. Vishnu, that Ganges, Ganga taranga ramaniya jata kalapo, that Ganges is moving in the matted hair of Shiva. It's just imagination, you see. Then, you see, if you live with these people, their every action, every word has a deep meaning. He saw that locomotive engine. It is called Port Commissioner's Train System. During the British period, all big ocean-going vessels would come to the Calcutta port and they emptied their merchandise, and it was carried by the train, and there is a huge depot, we call it godown or warehouse, in the Chitpur site. So all these things from the England will come and will be dumped there, or they will be kept there in that warehouse. So Swamiji saw that at that time there was no diesel engine or electric engine, locomotive engine. It will go by steam engine. So Swamiji said, look, that huge locomotive engine went whoosh. I remember in our boyhood days, now locomotive engines is almost off from India. Mostly electric and diesel. In Germany, I saw most of them are diesel engine. Very powerful. Sometimes in a big car, they burn 2-3 engines. One in the middle, one in the middle portion, one in the front. In America also, those engines are diesel engines. I'm from St. Louis to Kansas City. It is not electric, it is diesel. So anyhow, seeing that huge locomotive engine, Swamiji said, look, like a lion, whoosh, how it is going. Disciple also quite a learned man. He is a great Sanskrit scholar, postmaster. He said, "Sir, that engine does not have any consciousness. It is just prana." That I was telling last, I think last, in my last class or the last lecture, I mentioned it. Shakti, power, comes from nature. Lightning, tremendous power. Tornado, tremendous power. Hurricane, 100, 200 miles speed, the air, tremendous power. Is it conscious? That is the question. It destroys house after house. But it is not conscious. Prakriti, nature, has that power. So the disciple is telling, "Swami, that is, it is not consciousness, it is just a huge locomotive engine, it is not consciousness, it is just matter, it is power, that's all." Swamiji, everything is conscious, which rebels against nature. There, consciousness is manifested. Just try to kill a little ant. Even if it will once resist to save its own life, to save its life. Where there is struggle, where there is rebellion, there is the sign of life, there consciousness is manifested. It is a great definition of what is life. Where there is a rebel, fight against nature. That is called life. Nature says, "Live with me." Human being says, "If I live with you, we shall die." Terrible cold, snowing. Can you live there with nature? No way. If you live on the ice, you will die. So, human beings decided, "We shall fight against you, nature. We shall build the house. We shall build the heating system so that my room will be heated." Just see, we are fighting against nature. Then I shall live. That is called life. We are all the time fighting against nature. That is a sign of life. The moment you are born, and you threw your hands and feet, struggle begins. Struggle. Fight. Fight. You see, the more you fight, the more you gain strength. The more you gain strength, energy, the more you get knowledge. And if you do not fight, easygoing life, you will never grow. All yogis, they fight. Some people fight in the physical plane, some people fight in the mental plane. The yogis, monks, they fight in the mental plane against all kinds of temptations, all kinds of desires. That is called life. You people work hard, 8 hours, 10 hours in the office, struggle. Why? I'll have to get my food. I'll have to pay my bills. Struggle. Otherwise you will die if you do not work. That Swamiji is defining. It is a beautiful definition of life. Let me read that sentence again. Jikini is struggle. সেখানে রিবেলিয়ন সেইখানে জীবনের চিহ্ন সেইখানে চৈতন্যের বিকাশ হি ইউজ ফোর সেন্টেন্সেস হোয়ার দেয়ার ইজ এ স্ট্রাগল ফার্স্ট সেন্টেন্স হোয়ার দেয়ার ইজ রিবেলিয়ন সেকেন্ড সেন্টেন্স দেয়ার ইজ দি সাইন অফ লাইফ থার্ড সেন্টেন্স দেয়ার কনশিয়াসনেস ইজ ম্যানিফেস্টেড ফোর্থ সেন্টেন্স It is a real, sometimes I quote this one, the sign of life. consciousness manifests through struggle. If some rich people, their children, they do not struggle. Parents lavishly spend money for their education, for their food, for their clothing. Their lives are so easygoing. Or are the poor people, middle class people, to get education, how much struggle they do? Taking loan, parents cannot afford. And they're very sincere, they're more responsible than so-called the children of the rich people. Oh, everything is available, why should they struggle? Struggle. Struggle is the sign of life. You know, these sentences, this philosophy of Vedanta make us strong. We must struggle. Then he will see how he will scold the Indians. Easygoing life, full of tamas, no activities. I really like this book. Disciple, sir, can the test be applied also in the case of man of nations? Swamiji, just read the history of the world and see whether it applies or not. You will find that accepting yours, it holds good in the case of all other nations. It is you only who are in the world lying prostrate today like inert matter. You have been hypnotized. From very old times, others have been telling you that you are weak, that you have no power, and you also accepting that have for about 1,000 years gone on thinking, we are wretched, we are good for nothing. Pointing to this own body, he said, this body also is born of the soil of your country, but I never thought like that. And hence, you see how through his will, even those who always think us low and weak, that means the English people, have done, are still adoring me like God. I did not like that translation. Still doing me divine honor. That is the way Bengali is. Adoring me like God. If you can think that infinite power, infinite knowledge, and indomitable energy lie within you, and if you can bring out that power, you also can become like me. The disciple was telling, there's, you know, Swamiji, what about our Indian nation? Swamiji said, you people, 1,000 years, you are slaves. 700 years, Muslim ruled India. 300 years, British, French, and Portuguese ruled India. 1,000 years, you are slaves. And English people said, you are no good, weak, you are uncivilized, you are hopeless. And we have accepted it. Then he will criticize our education. British wants to give you that much education so that they can produce some clerks. Clerical job, that's all. And you are trying to die to get a job as a clerk. He will scold right and left. Thomas, you are sleeping. You are all hypnotized. Got only negative education. You are good for nothing. Look, me, I never thought that way. I am that I am. This Vedantic education will awaken your Shakti, power inside. Atman has infinite power. But we say, I am no good, I am depressed, I am down, hopeless. I can change my life. That is the reason we like Swamiji. People do not study Swamiji, I feel ashamed. I tell you, without Swamiji, I would not become a monk. He showed me a way. Life is very meaningful to me. And he set the goal. Don't be selfish. Atmana mokshartam jagat dhitaya cha. When we take the monastic vows, this is the mantra we repeat. Very beginning. I am dedicating my life, sacrificing my life for my own liberation and for doing good to humanity. You see, by throwing one arrow, you can kill one bird. But killing two birds by one arrow, then you are intelligent. That Swamiji did. Your energy must focus for your own illumination and helping people, doing good to humanity. See the problem. If you do only my own illumination, then you will be selfish. That is no good. Or if you do not practice your illumination, spiritual disciplines, only doing good to humanity, do you know what will happen? You will develop a big ego. That is dangerous. Very dangerous. I did it. I. That ego is very dangerous. His spiritual life and the other life must go side by side. That he is talking about. He was seeing that Western people now respecting me because they found something in me which they do not have. I am their teacher. I taught them this Vedanta, Atma Vidya, the knowledge of the self. That is the reason they respect me. I have no money. They have money. Mr. and Mrs. Xavier gave all their fortunes to Swamiji. Bought Mayavati property in the Himalayas. Whatever God gave you money, spend in a proper way. Disciple, where is the capacity in us for thinking that way, sir? Where is the teacher or preceptor who, from our childhood, can speak thus before us and make us understand what we have heard and have learned from all is that the object of having an education today, nowadays, is to secure some good job. Yes. British started 3 universities, Calcutta, Bombay, and Madras, 3 presidency. They dictated education, what kind of education we shall give to Indian people. They made the curriculum so that only few people, top people, they will keep in a higher position. Otherwise, all down. SP, district magistrate, superintendent of police, governor, all these things, all British. All lower jobs, Indians. That is the way. And we are happy to have a job. Clerk, I am a clerk. Lower division, upper division. I remember lower division 60 to 120, and upper division is 180 to 220. That is the grade. Clerical jobs. And for that reason, thousands and thousands of people are applying for a clerical job. The goal of education is to get a good clerical job and have some money. That's all. Look, after our independence, how India developed the education, national education. Indian people in the field of medicine, in the field of electronics, all these things. India is coming up. I wonder, one day Swamiji made a remark. Well, we want independence. Independence? You do not know to manufacture even a pin, a clip that will come from England. Even a clip and a pin, you do not know how to manufacture it. Cloth that will come from England. They will take our cotton and they will manufacture cloth and then they export to India. During Holy Mother's time, shortage of clothes, some women committed suicide. They had no clothes. I still remember I went to a house with another my friend, his relatives. And he went and the man was outside. I noticed, but he wanted to see that distant relative aunt. She had only one cloth. After bath, she kept that cloth outside to dry, and she inside the room, no clothes. So the husband took that wet cloth. I saw it. Took inside, gave his wife, so that with wet cloth she could see her relative. I'm talking within 40 and 50s, in the early 50s. Sad. This book will awaken your national consciousness. It will give you this view of this world, what is going on. It will open your eyes and do something, help. Don't think day and night about yourself, me, me, me. No. Look how Swamiji will continue. Good job. Who will teach us, sir? Look, Swamiji said. For that reason, is it that we have come forward with quite another precept and example. Learn the truth from us, understand it and realize it, and then spread that idea broadcast in cities, in towns and in villages. Go and preach to all. Arise, awake, sleep no more. Within each of you, there is the power to remove all wants and all miseries. Believe this, and that power will be manifested. Teach this to all, and with that, spread among the masses, in plain language, the central truths of science, philosophy, history, and geography. I have a plan to open a center with the unmarried youths. First of all, I shall teach them, and then carry on the work through them. You know, Swamiji once made a remark about St. Paul. St. Paul was a fanatic, was persecuting the early Christians, killed them, throwing stones. And that St. Paul saw the light of Jesus on the way to Damascus and he was converted. And he is the person among all Jesus' disciples. He is not a direct disciple, but all disciples, he knew the law, Jewish law. Learned man. That Swamiji said, you see, only fanatics are no good. I need some learned fanatics. That Swamiji said. My monks of my order must be learned. And they must have zeal, passion, compassion for the people. I need some unmarried youths. Then he was telling me in the Madras, young kids already married. Swamiji was in the Madras among his disciples, young boys got married. Disciple. But that requires a good deal of money. Where will you get this money? Disciple is telling Swamiji. What do you talk? Isn't it man that makes money? What, did you ever hear that money makes man? If you can make your thoughts and words perfectly at one, if you can, I say, make yourself one in speech and action, money will pour in at your feet of itself like water. This is another famous maxim or speech of Swamiji. Let me tell you the Bengali word. Manushei to taka kore. Takai manush kore, ekotha kothay shunechis? Manushei to taka kore. Human beings make money, correct? Money does not make human beings. That is the truth. You got good education, you will make a lot of money. Human beings make money. But money doesn't make a man. Money will make a bhogi. Comforts. That is a great saying of Swamiji. Manush taka kore. Taka e manush kore na. It is the money. Human beings make money. Money doesn't make human beings. Genuine human beings, no. That he said. Manmukh akkar. You know, look. Nowadays, so many people give money to Ramakrishna order. Why? Because they know that every penny will be spent for a noble cause. There will be no theft, no misuse of the money. Every penny will be spent properly. People gave us money seeing our work. I noticed it here, St. Louis. I'm 41 years in St. Louis. Any project came, devotees give money. Swami, we shall give money, do this. On the books we produce, most of the money comes from the devotees. They give money. Money comes, but we need some genuine human beings who will do the right work. That he was talking about. This is the reason. Or if you read these things, do you know what is the main focus? Man-making religion. We want to produce some genuine human beings. Genuine, good people. You know what Swamiji's comment? I have one criticism against monastic life. He is telling. Do you know why? It takes away the good people from the society. All good people, monks are pretty good. It takes away the good people, the cream of the society, it takes away in the monastery. That is the one criticism against monastic life. Disciple, well, sir, I take it for granted that money will come and you will begin that good work. But what will that matter? Before this also, many great men carried out many good deeds, but where are they now? To be sure, the same fate awaits the work which you are going to start. Then what is the good of such an endeavor? You know, the other great teachers of the world, they did some good work, boom, disappeared. So when you are starting some good work, it will also go away. So what good is doing any work, you know? Swamiji, I liked it, this answer. He who always speculates as to what awaits him in future accomplishes nothing whatsoever. What you have understood as true and good, just do that at once. What is the good of calculating what shall or may not befall in future? The span of life is so short, and can anything be accomplished in it if you go on forecasting the computing results? God is the only dispenser of results. Leave it to him to do all that. What have you got to do with it? Don't look that way, but go on working. Some people are procrastinate, calculative brain, no good, negative, no good. Have a positive outlook. Discuss with us, this is a good work, we are going to do it, stick to it. Then help will come, you will get the result. Others, oh no, if we do this, what will happen, that one, that. You will not do any work. You will not start work at all. Oh, if I go to do the relief work, I shall not get my breakfast right time, lunch right time. You know, where shall I sleep? You know, then if I be sick, who will give me the medicine? If you calculate that way, you will never be able to do any work. I remember when I started that way, translating Sri Ramakrishnanji's divine play, I was very sick. I had terrible dizziness. I have terrible headache. Oof! It was in 1999, 1900. I was sick and sick and sick. I thought I would die. I shall not be able to do that work. I was really thinking I would die. I passed through a very bad time. I had all good doctors in town. I suffered 2-3 years. Then again I became normal. But I never gave up work. The moment headache, I was in bed, the moment headache is gone, I am working on the computer. When I'm sick, I'm in bed. When I'm not sick, I must work. Then I thought, well, I must go to the shrine. Then I scold myself. You don't feel shy to go to the breakfast table, but you feel you are not going to the shrine. Hypocrite. Go. Go to the shrine, sit, meditate, then go to the breakfast table. You must discipline yourself. Then willpower will come. Then God's help will come. You know, this is called spiritual life, struggle. Struggle, struggle. Otherwise, you will not achieve anything. While he was thus going on, it is not cab, at that time there is no car, it is horse carriage. The carriage reached the garden house. Many people from Calcutta came to the garden that day to see Swamiji. Swamiji got down from the ship carriage, took his seat in the room, and began conversation with them all. Mr. Goodwin, a Western disciple of Swamiji, was standing nearby like the embodiment of service, as it were. The disciple had already made his acquaintance, so he came to Mr. Goodwin and both engaged in a variety of talks about Swamiji. In the evening, Swamiji called the disciple and asked him, "Have you got the Keno Katha Upanishad by heart?" "No, sir. I have only read it with Shankara's commentary." Swamiji, "Among the Upanishads, one finds no other book so beautiful as this. I wish you would all get it by heart. What will it do only to read it? Rather try to bring into your life the faith, the courage, the discrimination, and the renunciation of Nachiketa." But that is a beautiful thing. Do you know what Swamiji said? "All greatest truths are expressed through poetry. All greatest truths are expressed, manifested through poetry. The Upanishads, the Gita, poetry. So he was telling that Katha Upanishad is a very good Upanishad about the Atman, the mystery of the Atman, about life. "Hey, memorize it." "Well, sir, I read the..." He was a Sanskrit scholar. "But I read it and I, with Shankara's commentary, I know, I can explain it." No. Do you know what does it mean? Mukhastha teke manustha hai. Mukhastha means memorization. Mukhastha. If you memorize it, then it should be manustha. Then it will go into the mind. Our Indian children, from their childhood, they are trained to memorize the hymns of gods and goddesses. They do not know the meaning, but they memorize it. Then it slowly, it goes into their heart. I remember one of our, when I was in training center, I had a classmate, Prabhakar. He is from Kerala, Nambudri Brahmin, Shankara's community. Long nose, big eyes. And he memorized everything. Gita, Yogi Sutra, Bhakti Sutra, all he got. But he bombards in Sanskrit in no time. Then I said, "Hey, Prabhakar, what is the secret? Teach me the secret. I love to memorize." "Oh, you want to love to memorize? Yes, come. Gita, 12th chapter, correct? You want to memorize?" "Well, yes." "First, recite. How many minutes it will take?" I go, you know, Klishavadikaras, Tesham, Abhyakta, Asakta, Chaitasham, Abhyakta, Yegati, Dukkam, Dukkha, Vadviravapati. Kuli, within 5 minutes I finished the 20 verses, within 5 minutes. Repeatedly I repeated. Very fast. Within 5 minutes, I repeated 20 verses. Good. So, now close the door. Now, 1 hour, you must recite. 12 times you will repeat it. 12 times. Stop. Again, before lunch, another 12 times. Before evening, another 12 times. Within 36 times, if you repeat, the mantras will come to your tongue. You do not know the meaning, but the words will come. That is the technique. Repetition. When I was reading Mahanarayana Upanishad, the Prasna, Chauta, Rudra, Prasna, those I got by heart. But now I give a practice, so I cannot repeat fluently. But if somebody repeats, I can go with him, with that person. But I do not. I forgot my practice, so it left me. But anyhow, a Gita, some Upanishads, I memorized. But now, no practice. Mind goes into another direction. But there are some people, the priests, they repeat every day, all the mantras. Anyhow, so he is telling that repeat it. again and again, again and again, then you will get by heart. Hey, my mother, Lakshmi Pachali, the stories of the goddess fortune, she got by heart. She did not have school education, but she got by heart the mantras. Repetition. They have fantastic memory. Then Swamiji said the quintessence of the Upanishad, then he told his disciples. Four things. First, faith. Second, courage. Third, discrimination. Fourth, renunciation. Shraddha avivesha. Shraddha. Shraddha. Shraddha, we translate in English, faith. Faith is vishwas. Shraddha has many ideas mixed that word shraddha. Shraddha means faith. Shraddha means devotion. Shraddha means courage. Shraddha means discrimination. Shraddha means conviction. Shraddha means renunciation. All these things together, ideas together, make the word shraddha. Swamiji says, it has no English connotation. You will have to take it as shraddha, as shraddha. For example, Atman cannot be translated into English. We call it soul or self. Atman is Atman. Brahman is Brahman. Maya is Maya. You will have to take as it is. Now, of course, they have entered into the dictionary. No problem. So, Swamiji said, rather try to bring into your life the faith, the courage, the discrimination and renunciation of Nachiketa. That's what Swamiji said. You are going to be my disciple, have these four. Disciple, give your blessings, please, that I may realize this. Swamiji, you have heard of Sri Ramakrishna's words, haven't you? He used to say, the breeze of mercy is already blowing. Do you only unfurl the sail? They pulled hoist. Anyhow, can anybody, my boy, thrust realization upon another? One's destiny is in one's own hands. The Guru only makes this much understood. Through the power of the seed itself, the tree grows. The air and water are only aids. Kripar Batasto Boiche Paltulede, Sri Ramakrishna said. The grace of God is always blowing. In the river or in the ocean, the wind is always blowing. You only unfurl your sail. Then the wind will catch that sail and will take you to your destination. Or unfurling sail is the self-effort, always remember. Or the wind is blowing, that is grace. Hey, last February, when I was in California, I went to the Pacific Ocean to drop some ashes of an actress into the ocean. So our devotee arranged a boat. First, when we got out from the bay, he used the engine. Then when he entered into the ocean, he lifted, he unfurled the sail. But Swami, I turned off the engine. Just enjoy the ocean. Unfurl the sail. Self-effort and grace. If you do not unfurl the sail, you will not get the wind. Self-effort. You will have to make an effort. I shall start my spiritual life. I must study. I must have devotion for God. That is the very beginning. Then help will come. Guru will come. That he is talking with. Guru only makes the such understood through the power of the seed itself, the three gurus. When you put the seed on the ground, it sprouts come from its own power. But fertilizer, water, weeding helps to rapid growth of the plant. That is Guru's job. But the seed must, the sprout must come from its own. Disciple. There is, sir, the necessity also of extraneous help. Swamiji, yes, there is. But you should know that if there is no substance within, no amount of outside help will avail anything. Yet there comes a time for everyone to realize the self. For everyone is Brahman. The distinction of higher and lower is only in the degree of manifestation of that Brahman. In time, everyone will have perfect manifestation. Hence the scripture says, Kalena Atmani Bindati. In time, that is realized in oneself. It also depends on human beings. If a person is very dull-headed, you cannot make that person as a professor or teacher. It depends upon your brain, you know, individual beings also. All human beings are not the same. Swamiji wants a major distinction. The difference between man and man is the difference of concentration. You will find some children in 1 hour finished all homework. And another 4-5 hours couldn't finish the homework. It all depends upon your concentration. Kalenatmani Vindati, which is from the Gita. Nahi Ganena Sadrisham Pavitramiha Vidati, Tvatsayam Yoga Sangsiddha Kalenatmani Vindati. There is nothing in this world which purifies than the knowledge of God. That knowledge of God depends upon your karma. But Kalenatmani Vindati, eventually, all human beings will be illumined. Maybe 200 million years, 200 million births, or 400 million births, we do not know. It is an evolutionary process. It depends upon your speed. If you drive your car 5 miles speed, 10 miles, 15 miles, 30 miles, 60 miles, all depends upon your how much gas accelerated, how much you are pressing. That depends on that. I see our devotees when they drive me from Kansas City to St. Louis, they go to 70 miles speed, they go to 75, and they put cruise control, then they hold it. Then you not have to press all the time. Just hold the steering. Go this lane, that lane, just. But the moment you touch it, then again you will have to bring that speed and again you will have to lock that one. So it depends upon your Kalen. But Kalenatmani Vindati, time factor is there. No guru, even an illumined guru, can do anything to you or to us if we are not interested. If you are not hungry, I can serve all good food to you, you will reject. Swami, I am up to this. I am not hungry. It will not work. This hunger for God, hunger for spiritual life, that Guru cannot do. Guru has no hands there. One day, Aim was seated on the Nahabad, in the western veranda of Nahabad. And Thakur came and saw him, and he saw tears from his eyes, crying for God. Sri Ramakrishna was very much moved. Ah, you cried for God. He was so happy. How many people cry for God? Then he was telling, you know, you are a very nice person. Ektu kichu korle keu eshe bole debe ei ei koro. If you make an effort, then someone will come and will tell you, do this next, do this next, do this next. That sentence I shall never forget. Ektu kichu korle, if you do a little things, keu eshe bole debe, someone will come and tell you, next this, ei koro, ei koro. Next this, next this, next this. You will have to move. That's the message. If you lie down, your fortune will lie down with you. If you sit, your fortune will sit with you. If you stand, your fortune will stand with you. If you move on, your fortune will move on with you. So move on. That is the mantra we learn from the Rig Veda, Charaiveti. I'll write up to this tonight. It would be interesting, you know. Swamiji's words are so powerful, I cannot tell you. He can grab your two shoulders and shake you. You're dying, die! Kali Natmani Vindati. Lata Maharaj used to say, Sam tak patha zarur padegi. Sam tak patha zarur padegi. That means, it is in the banquet, and all of you are invited. You will get lunch at 12 o'clock. Some will get lunch at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. Till evening, because all of you are invited, all will be fed. So, before evening, you will get a leaf plate. That means you will get your lunch. What he meant, that if you are very fortunate, you will get lunch at the right time. Just at 12. And those that are unfortunate, lazy, after you arrive late in the banquet, so you will be at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the evening. You are tormented with hunger, but you will get. What a beautiful expression. Samtak patha zarur padegi. You will get a leaf plate in the banquet. So Kalinatmani Vandati, you are all invited. One day you will get it. But if you want now, you will have to make an effort. Jai Mata.